the Old Testament, before the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ, the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would fall on people kind of on like a, how can I word this? Okay, if God needed somebody to do something, to say something, the Holy Spirit would fall on that person. Like Samson, the Holy Spirit would fall on him and he would have this massive, amazing power and he would do all these crazy, amazing feats against the Philistines. Somebody prophesying, like King Saul prophesying, the Holy Spirit would fall on these people. Well, back in the Old Testament, it was prophesied that there would be a time when the Holy Spirit would not just simply fall on somebody, but the Holy Spirit would dwell in the hearts of God's people. So if you look down here at Ezekiel 36 and verse 27, we have one of these prophecies by the prophet Ezekiel. And I will put my spirit within you. So this is a new thing that God was doing in the church age. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. See, when the law was given in the Old Testament, God's people couldn't keep it. We couldn't keep it. They couldn't keep it. So God says, I'm going to give you a helper. I'm going to give you a helper, and he's going to do many, many, many things. And the Holy Spirit is definitely, I would consider, the most misunderstood part of the Trinity, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And see, the Holy Spirit is our helper. It guides us, leads us, directs us, convicts us of our sins, and God gives us special spiritual gifts through the filling of the Holy Spirit. So God, in his infinite wisdom, knowing we couldn't keep the law, he gives us this wonderful blessing to where, see, here's the cool thing about living in the day and age that you live in now. You don't have to give in to sin. If you're a Christian and the Holy Spirit dwells inside you, and you can't have one without the other, let me say that. Okay, if you are a Christian, if you have repented from your sins, if you've asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, boom, you are filled with the Holy Spirit. Can I get a witness? The Holy Spirit dwells in the hearts, or dwells inside of each and every believer. Now, it's up to me whether or not I want to yield to that Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's not going to make you do anything, but the time's coming and the time's here when we need to begin to listen to that still small voice, to listen to that Holy Spirit and be obedient to that Holy Spirit. Can I get a witness? Thank you, Jesus. So here's just one of the prophecies about the Holy Spirit being prophesied hundreds of years. But now, see, here we go. We live in this age where we are filled with the Holy Spirit. And Scripture says, be being filled with the Holy Spirit. So it's not just a one-time at conversion thing, okay? Just like your car runs out of gas, just like how you run out of energy. Now, the Holy Spirit's not going to leave you, okay? You're filled with the Holy Spirit, but God does want us to ask for fresh fillings from time to time. And I do that all the stinking time, man. I need the Holy Spirit. I need God's anointing. I need his presence in my life. Can I get a witness? Now, looky here at John 14, 16 and 17, and then we're going to jump down to 26 and 27. This is Jesus talking about the Holy Spirit that is to come. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. Now, in the Greek, this word helper, it's like a verb. It is, I'm trying to sound smart here, but what it is, it basically means to come alongside you, to come alongside. So this is a picture of the Holy Spirit coming alongside you to help you, to guide you, to lead you, amen, to convict you of your sins, to equip you for what you need to live a God-pleasing life, amen? And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. So this is a really big thing, because Jesus Christ, although he is the second man of the Trinity, even though he is the Son of God, okay, in his earthly ministry, okay, if you weren't in his presence, you might not receive those blessings or those instructions that he had for you. Does that make sense this morning? But see, when he ascended to the Father, not long after, the Holy Spirit was given to God's people. Okay, now what that means is he's with me wherever I go. Amen. No matter where I go. So then we get all these promises that we're constantly talking about, you know, where the Holy Spirit, where Scripture says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Okay? That's a big deal. What is that talking about? It's talking about the Holy Spirit right there with you, no matter where you end up, no matter what you're facing. Can I get a witness? It's a wonderful blessing. What a wonderful, wonderful blessing that you have been branded and sealed with the Holy Spirit. God can look down on a crowd, and this is just an easy way of me explaining it with my little pea brain mind. Y'all can argue with me if you want. No, but you know, God looks down and he says, he's mine, he's mine, he's mine, he's mine. They're sealed with the Holy Spirit. They're washed in the blood of my son. You know, and Satan sees it as well, and he's going to try, steal, kill, and destroy. And we need to stop listening to him. But we'll get into that a little later, maybe. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. So that's what happens when we accept Christ. The Holy Spirit comes and dwells inside us. And look at one of the bennies. Look at one of the benefits of having the Holy Spirit in our life, even the Spirit of truth. What is Jesus? He's the way, the truth, and the life. So see, I have this guidance to the truth, okay? See, the Holy Spirit will tell you, as you spend your time in the Word and you feed that Spirit, man, that lives inside you, okay, the Holy Spirit will raise a red flag when some fancy boy preacher is saying something, you know, and it's like, oh, I don't know. All God's people said, I don't know. You know, it guides us, leads us to the truth, amen? So I'll say it to you like this. If anybody ever tells you something, or your heart tells you something that is contrary to the written word of God, run away from it. Walk away from it. That's not the Spirit. Amen. So look at John 14, 26 and 27. We're kind of moving a little fast today, but we got a little bit of ground to cover, and I'm having a swell time. Are you guys doing okay? Thank you, Lord. So look at John 14, 26 and 27. This is Jesus again. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you. There you go. There's a big one. If you're taking notes, write that down. The Holy Spirit will teach you. Underline that in your Bible, whatever you want to do. He will teach you. That's one of the blessings of having the Holy Spirit. He will teach you. The Word of God will come alive to you. How many of you, and you don't have to raise your hands or anything, I certainly remember it. Before I was a Christian, or before I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I would open up Scripture from time to time because my mother or my father, or I'd be in a church service, or and my mom would say, you need to read the Bible. Well, she'd catch me doing some foul behavior or something. She'd say, you need to get into the Bible, you know. And I would, from time to time, I would open it up. And it was just extremely, extremely, I don't know how to say this. It didn't mean much to me, man. I knew it meant a lot to a lot of people. I knew there was truth in it, but it was like very dry to me. And just wasn't the way it is after I accepted Jesus Christ. And at first, I certainly had to push myself into getting into the Word of God as a Christian. But as I got into the Word of God, it became alive to me. And God begins to even show somebody that's not very educated, begins to show him amazing and hidden things. It's just right there on the pages. It comes alive to us. Can I get a witness? Okay, the Holy Spirit teaches us. And if you're a Christian and you're not spending a lot of time in the Word, you need to remedy that. We need to spend time in Scripture, okay? Praise the Lord, tell the truth, shame the devil, right? But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Verse 27, and the Holy Spirit certainly did that to the disciples after the death and burial of Jesus Christ in the resurrection. The Holy Spirit began to explain these things to him. Jesus began to explain these things to him. Remember when I said this a long time ago? Doesn't this make sense now? That's one of the blessings of the Holy Spirit. He teaches us. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Look at verse 27. The Holy Spirit teaches us. Okay, the Holy Spirit teaches us, and this is, Brother Don, Brother Don and Brother Donnie, the and Brother Dalton, any other D people in here, everybody. The Holy Spirit gives us peace. You know, what a wonderful, wonderful thing that we need to take the Holy Spirit up on. You know what I mean? Sometimes as Christians, we walk around, we don't have any kind of peace. We are just anxious beyond anxious. We are stressed out beyond stress. We're looking at the wind and the waves. We're listening to the news, man. We're looking at gas prices, and we're just getting stressed out, man. And there's a lot of lies out there, and there's a lot of stuff that's not true. But like I said, we need to stand on what we know is truth. And what is Jesus? What is Jesus? He is the way, the truth. So we go to what we know. We go to what we can stand on. Can I get a witness? Okay, we stand on God's promises. See, the Holy Spirit teaches me, and the Holy Spirit, this is the good, I love this so much. The Holy Spirit gives us peace, man. He gives us peace, because when all around us is sinking sand, I remember God's promises. And that Holy Spirit is speaking to my inner person saying, hey, man, just calm down. Hey, man, relax. I'll never leave you or forsake you. All is well. Can I get a witness, church people? Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead and give the Lord some praise. See, Jesus says in verse 27, peace I leave with you. He's talking about going away. Now, this is Last Supper talk. He's talking about going away, but he says, I'm not going to leave you as orphans, guys. And remember, the disciples' hearts were broken. They were confused. They didn't really get what was going on, you know. But Jesus said, hey, the Holy Spirit will He'll bring this stuff to your remembrance later so you know that I know what I'm talking about, that I am who I said I am. Can I get a witness? Peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. So this is a wonderful part of having the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is I don't have to be stressed out to the max, man. That's very 80s talk, I guess. Stressed out to the max. Totally. But, you know, I don't have to be stressed out like that. I don't have to be discouraged when something doesn't go my way. Okay? Peace I leave with you. His peace, not the world peace. Okay? Because we could be on the top of the world, man, when we got $18 in our checking account and everything's going well. I got some Captain D's leftovers in the refrigerator. All's looking well, you know, but... But man, you know, that's just circumstantial type happiness. God says, I got peace for you no matter what's going on in your world. You trust in me. You listen to this Holy Spirit that dwells inside you. Okay, let's go to the next slide. Thank you, Jesus. So that is some prophesying, predicting of this Holy Spirit that Christ is going to give, that God is going to give to all believers. So now we got to go to Acts 2. Just if you're doing the Bible thing, turn over to just go Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. There it is. Boom. Acts 2. Now during this time, as Christian believers go, the church. Excuse me. Oh, guys, people. About 120 believers in Christianity. 120 followers of Christianity in the world at this time. Okay. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. So we have the apostles, we have the 11. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven, this is what God promised to them, and suddenly there came from heaven, so where does the Holy Spirit come from? It comes from heaven. So if this inner voice begins to tell you something that is contrary to the Word of God, that ain't the Holy Spirit, okay? That's why we got to stay in the Word. If somebody comes up to you and says, well, God has told me this and it is contrary to Scripture, or what I'm saying is if it doesn't line up with Scripture, then politely just say, no, thank you. No, whatever you want to do, don't listen to it because it ain't right. Amen? They were all together in one place, and suddenly, let me just say this, God is never going to do anything or tell you anything that is different than from what the Word of God says. He's not going to do it, okay? And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them. So we got these little tongues of fire that appears over everybody that was in this room or in this house. And it looks like fire. It's not exactly fire because it says as of fire. So it's representing fire, or that's the best way Luke could describe it. It looks like fire, but what do we see fire so much in the Old Testament? Remember the burning bush, that's God's presence. The pillar of fire that was leading the Israelites. We're talking about God's presence in that purifying fire work that God does, resting over the heart of each and every believer in this place, all right? So it's interesting and noteworthy to say that nobody was left out. Nobody was left out, okay? So it's not about just for the preachers. It's not just for the Sunday school teachers. It's not just for the people that went to seminary. It's not just for the people that grew up in church. It's for any Bible-believing Christian. Matter of fact, when you accept Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells inside you. Can I get a witness? Thank you, Jesus. Let me enjoy some of this spring water. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and dividing tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. So the Holy Spirit teaches me. The Holy Spirit gives me peace. And the Holy Spirit equips me. The Holy Spirit, these guys, these uneducated fishermen, as some people would say, these Galileans, these hillbillies, you know, the unsophisticated, the blue-collar guys, you know, as they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they began to speak in tongues, in different languages. This is not what, when we talk about someone speaking in tongues in a church service or something that you've witnessed here where someone is speaking in tongues. This is something different. When someone is speaking in tongues, that's your heavenly prayer language that many and most of us receive upon accepting Jesus Christ or asking to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? But what this is something different. These uneducated Galileans, I mean, there was a tax collector, there's some well-to-do cats that were part of this crew here, but what was going on is they begin to speak in different languages, man. They didn't know any other different languages. You see, the Holy Spirit equips us. Can I get a witness? And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and begin to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. See, the Holy Spirit equips us. Can I get a witness? Verse 5, now they were dwelling in Jerusalem. This is why the Holy Spirit began to use these apostles to speak in different languages. God knew what was happening on the day of Pentecost. That's what this is, the day of Pentecost, which was a harvest festival for the Jews. This was one of these three huge celebrations that would take place in Jerusalem. So people, Jewish worshipers, people that worship the one true God, would come from all over creation to come worship at the temple during these special times, people that spoke different languages. Okay, so God, knowing this in his infinite wisdom, anoints these guys to begin to speak about Jesus Christ and give God glory in these people's specific languages. So as this is happening, they hear this, the people going to and from the temple, hear this amazing sound, this mighty, mighty wind going on inside this building, you know. And then as they come to check it out, here's these fishermen talking in their native language, glorifying God. And it's just pulling this huge crowd of people together from every walk of life, from every different nation. Now that we're dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. See, the Holy Spirit equips us. Amen. Okay. Verse 7. And they were amazed, the people that had gathered, and they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? Ain't these unsophisticated It's just, see, God does these amazing things. If we look at the apostles, if we look at, let's just say Peter, because Peter's about to give this amazing sermon. If we look at what the Holy Spirit does, He certainly equips us, but he gives us these abilities that we never had before. I'm not saying like a superhuman, but I'm saying like a spiritual person. I'm talking about someone filled with the Holy Spirit. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. God will give me the abilities that he needs me to have. These dudes didn't know how to speak these other languages. These are people from all over the place. You know, but God equips us, God uses us, and he gives us a boldness. I can tell you of several occasions where I was going into a situation and I was a little unsure. I just kind of scary situations or whatever. But as you begin to pray, God gives you peace. Sometimes you don't really even know what you're walking into, but God gives you peace. But one of the most amazing things that I've ever experienced in my life is as far as being a Christian or a servant of the Lord or just a pastor is walking into an unknown situation and being faced with something, and then automatically the Holy Spirit just strengthening you, you know, and equipping you. It's an amazing thing that God does for his people, and we need to lean into that. Amen. Can I get a witness?
Yes.
All right, let's go to the next slide, beloved. And it's for all people. Now, Peter right here, he's going to give an amazing sermon about what's going on. He uses this opportunity. You know, remember old impulsive Peter that would do all these crazy things? He seizes his opportunity by yielding to the Holy Spirit and delivers this amazing sermon. And see, it's not the studying that you do, okay? The Bible does say study to show yourself approved. We do need to study. We need to be in the Word of God. But see, the Holy Spirit, when we're obedient to him, he can do these amazing things through us. And that's what he wants to do. See, like I said a few minutes ago, there was like 120 Christian followers at this point. By the end of this day, or the end of what's going on here, and Peter's amazing Spirit-filled sermon, over or about 3,000 people are going to come to accept Jesus Christ. That's a pretty good church service, amen? Going from 120 to 3,000, and it's going to grow, and it's going to grow, and it's going to grow. And here we are 2,000 years later, you know what I mean? Being filled with the Holy Spirit and letting God use us. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice. 11? I thought it was 12. Judas ain't with them no more. Remember, Judas went and hung himself. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk." That was what some of the folks were saying. It's like, look at these Galileans are drunk. And Peter's addressing that. No, we're not drunk. We're not drunk. Not with what you're thinking, okay? Or we're not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. It's early in the morning. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. Remember at the start of this, we went over how Jesus promised this, and we talked about how this was prophesied also in the Old Testament. Well, Peter, talking to all these devout Jews, people that worship at the temple, he's going to go back and pull from what they're going to understand and say, this is a God thing. This isn't a bunch of drunk people. This isn't just a bunch of crazy people. Okay, but this is what Scripture says. This is what your God and my God said was going to happen. Okay, so he's going back to Scripture. Like I said, anything you hear, okay, someone tells you something or your heart wants to lead you in a certain way, you got to go back to Scripture and see if it stands up with that. That's what Peter's doing. He's saying, hey guys, don't freak out. This was promised a long time ago. This is just another fulfillment of God's prophecies in these days. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. Verse 17, "And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit," that's what we're talking about, the Holy Spirit, "that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, on your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, even on my male servants and female servants. In those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy." See, that's what we're talking about. The Holy Spirit teaches you, it gives you peace, and it equips you. See, there's these spiritual gifts that God wants to give his believers, you know. And I see them portrayed throughout this church. I see them portrayed in my own life and in different people's life. Like, I've seen the gift of discernment in people in here, and obviously dreams and the prophetic and the speaking of tongues. These are things that should not scare us, but these are things that should be done in order. Can I get a witness? Okay, God is a God of order. But see, he wants to. So when I say, God, fill me up afresh with the Holy Spirit, and I say that, I pray that, and I'm expecting, okay, then God's going to say, okay, what you are basically saying is, you're saying, God, give me everything I need. Give me everything you want me to have to be the God-pleasing servant you want me to be. Whatever that is, you got a gift for me, let me have that gift. Let me walk in that gift. Can I get a witness? Okay, and in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. See, remember, those tongues of fire rested on each and every person. See, this gift is for all people. And see, this is an amazing thing that Joel is prophesying about, because it shows how God is a fair and just and loving God, and how he doesn't play favorites. He's talking about servants. He's talking about kids. He's talking about the older people. He's talking about male and female. He's putting us all on an equal plane here, saying, I got gifts for everybody. Amen? All right, tell the truth, shame the devil. That's all I'm trying to say. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Now jump down with me to Acts 2:38. We're skipping a lot of meat of the sermon. Not this sermon that I'm doing, but we're skipping a lot of the meat of Pete's big time sermon. And everybody should go back and read 2nd chapter of Acts. Go back and read it. It's phenomenal. Look at your neighbor and say, it's phenomenal. Phenomenal. Yeah. Oh my. Acts 2 and verse 38. And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. What's he talking about? He's talking about, join the family, all you devout Jews who worship the one true God. Okay, there's something that you're leaving out, and there's only one way to the one true God. There's only one way to the Father, and that's through this guy I'm telling you about. You can only get to the Father through Jesus Christ. That's what he's saying. He's saying you can't leave that out, okay? You can't have one without the other. You have got to repent of your sins and ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. You can't leave Jesus out of this equation. It ain't going to happen. It ain't going to work out. You're going to be awful disappointed. Can I get a witness? Okay. And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And what's going to happen? What's going to happen if I accept Christ? And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So he's telling this huge group of folks, you see what's going on here? With all these amazing things that are taking place today, you can have that, but you can only have it through Jesus Christ. You can't buy it like some people are trying to. You can't fake it. That's nonsense, okay? You're not going to be able to have this filling of the Holy Spirit unless you are filled with the Holy Spirit, and you cannot be filled with the Holy Spirit unless you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Can I get a witness? You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit for the promise. This is cool. This is really, really cool. For the promises for you, the people he's talking to at this moment, for the promises for you and for your children, and check this part out, and for all who are far off. That's me and you guys. That's us. Okay? This is something that still takes place today. Okay? This is something that each and every believer needs, man, to listen to that Holy Spirit, to feed that Spirit, man. For the promises for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. Do you belong to Jesus Christ this morning? Have you been called by his name? All right. Thank you, Jesus. Tell the truth. Let's go to the one last slide. Last slide right here. So this Holy Spirit, this indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we already talked about how it gives us peace, how it teaches us, instructs us. Look at Galatians 5 and remember those spiritual gifts. In Galatians 5 and verse 22, Now, this is what needs to be active in the life of every single Bible-believing Christian. Okay, so, let me say it like this. How am I doing, church people? How am I doing with my Christian walk? Are these things that I'm about to say, are these things active in my life? Are these things that I'm growing in? Because if not, these are things that God wants to bring into my life. These are things that God wants me to do, and I can do this through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? Because sometimes, let me say it like this. Sometimes we're like, well, this is just how God made me, and I'm just this type of person, and I don't do that. Well, okay, like I said, if it doesn't line up with the Bible, it doesn't matter how you were made or how your grandma was and her before you. Okay, God says, I want you to start behaving like what I expect out of my children. So there's a lot of things that are in us that God wants to work on, and we're so comfortable sometimes, like, well, that's just how I am. That's how my mama raised me or didn't raise me or whatever, you know. But see, okay, we're not our own, okay? You're not your own. You've been bought at a price. That price was the precious blood of Jesus Christ. He died so you could live. He was alone on the cross for those moments in time so we would never have to be alone. So the Holy Spirit will always be with us. So these are some fruits that we need to be bearing, Galatians 5 and 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. I'm not going to go into detail about all these. Y'all are bright people. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Do you love your neighbor? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Do you have joy even though everything is fake and phony and falling apart? Do you have peace? Do you have patience? Kindness. How's that working out for you? Peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. All God's people say, blah, 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 blah. Like a car trying to start up in a cartoon. Blah, 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 blah. No one did that. Blah, blah, blah. But the fruit of the... But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. How about them apples? Gentleness. Self-control. I've never had self-control. I can do all things through Christ. Hey, man, I'm not good at saying no to a lot of them delicious dainties that they have down that one aisle, you know? But see, I can do all... Never mind, that's another sermon. Self-control. Against such there is no law. So the Holy Spirit teaches, it gives me peace, it equips me with these special gifts that He has for me, and these are some fruits that I need to be bearing. And look at this, the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sins. Have you witnessed that yet? Have you witnessed that yet as a Christian? Okay, and when He comes, Holy Spirit, He will convict the world concerning sin. Now, that is not talking specifically about Bible-believing Christians. That is specifically, contextually talking about the Holy Spirit convicting people, saying, hey, you need Jesus Christ. Hey, you need to repent. Hey, you need to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's specifically, contextually, what it's talking about. But as a Christian, the Holy Spirit certainly convicts you of your sins. The Holy Spirit says, hey, don't do that. Hey, you shouldn't do that. Hey, you shouldn't have done that. You need to repent of that. Stop doing that. That is the Holy Spirit working in your life. And when He comes, He will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Last verse, same as the first. It's actually completely different from the first verse we did. Holy Spirit guides us, okay? John 16 and verse 13, when the Spirit of truth comes, we've heard about this earlier, when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you. Isn't that pretty? Isn't that beautiful? When I don't know which way to go, when I don't know what to do, you know, it's not just talking about traffic. It can talk about traffic. You know, God is certainly concerned about that. You know, whatever you're concerned about, He's concerned about. He's talking about guiding you to make those right decisions. When never in my lifetime has there been all these just lies thrown at you from every angle, and you can see with your eyes and you're like, man, this is some messed up junk. I cannot believe this is happening. In America, man, I never thought I'd see. Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, see, here we go. We got a God that's on the throne. okay? He is in control, and he wants me to have peace. And, okay, as times can get tough, and they'll certainly get tough, you know, but see, here's the thing. God says, I'll guide you. I'll guide you. I'll get you to the grocery store that has the dish liquid you've been longing for. You know, that's a little silly, but I'll, he can feed us. He can take care of us. So what I'm trying to say is, as Christians, we don't need to fear anything. God goes over that over and over again in Scripture. Stop being such a worrywart. Don't be so discouraged. Listen to that Holy Spirit. Amen. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority. See, that's talking about the unity between the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. The Holy Spirit, you know, God's not going to do anything without first telling his prophets, and his prophets are able to hear because they are filled with the Holy Spirit. You know what I mean? And that's one of the precious gifts that God gives his people. See, we don't have to worry about a single thing. God is in control, okay? And God wants to guide and lead and direct you and equip you and use you, so he gives you the Holy Spirit. So right now, what we want to do on this wonderful, blessed day of Pentecost, if I could have everyone's attention for like 30 more seconds, I'll turn this car around right now. Okay. If you are a Christian, and you want a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit.